Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening. Is there no end? We obviously are in our study of 1 Kings. The first section was David's last days, chapters 1 and 2. Then we have in the back half of chapter 2 all the way up through the end of chapter 11, the reign of Solomon. And then, from chapter 12 to the end of chapter 16, we have considered the divided nation. Tonight we end that session. And then we begin the ministry of Elijah. The book takes a tremendous change. We have done all these overviews and this king and this king, and it's jumping around, giving you the nation's parallel histories and progress and failures and changes. We're going to be focusing in the ministry of Elijah, primarily in the northern kingdom, prophet, trying to turn a nation around. Surely we have seen in our study that God is in control of this world. He knows what kings to put in place, when and why. He knows when they will die. He knows what oppositions they will face. He knows their failures. And so it is we see the deplorable condition of spirituality in Israel. And you read these chapters of this divided nation, and does it not sound like today's headlines? Problems, problems, problems. And yet through all of it, they died and entered eternity. What did it matter? Well, our previous study was, and these are God's people. We saw the rebuke and death of Baasha. We saw that King Elah was murdered by Zimri. And we see Zimri reigns 7 days, and Omri then takes the throne for the northern kingdom. Well, in tonight's message, guess what we're going to read more about? Problems. Hence the title, Is There No End? We're going to be focusing on the problems in the northern kingdom. Do you understand that sin is the problem? We have sin natures. Don't you think after several thousand years of human existence on this earth, we would finally have enough education, we would have enough laws, we would have enough training, we would have been fed up with strife and conflict and crime and on and on? Wouldn't you think we'd have figured it out as mankind? But instead, it gets worse and worse. We have a sin nature as everyone else that has gone before us. We must look to God. Our study tonight is 1 Kings 16, 21 to 34. Then were the people of Israel divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people that followed Omri prevailed against the people that followed Tibni, the son of Ginath. So Tibni died and Omri reigned. In the 31st year of King Asa of Judah began Omri to reign over Israel 12 years. 6 years reigned he in Tirzah, and he bought the hill Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver and built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill Samaria. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord. Does that surprise you? And did worse than all that were before him. Does that surprise you? For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Omri, which he did, and his might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Does that surprise you? And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that went before him. In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. Well, it's more bad news. The sin goes on. The nations are at strife. There's unrest. Little do we even see anything of spirituality. We see idolatry. Things are getting worse. Is there no end? Well, an outline of this passage, in verses 21 to 27, we see the reigns of Tibni and Omri. And in verses 28 to 34, Ahab, the son of Omri, begins his 22-year rule over Israel. Is there no end? Let's take a look at these verses. 16:21, then were the people of Israel divided into two parts. Half the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. Do you realize that the group that split? Do you get it? The 10 tribes now have a civil war going on. They're divided into two parts, Tibni and Omri. Verse 22, but the people that followed Omri prevailed against the people that followed Tibni, the son of Ginath. So Tibni died and Omri reigned. Civil war. Fighting to be king, one prevails, and in due time he also will die. Do you see the suffering of the people? There's no stability with all this fighting going on. And these are God's people. Who do you think was doing the fighting? The common people. And there must have been people dying. Families are being broken. Many were wounded. Omri and Tibni typify many people in the world. These two men looked for opportunities to promote themselves with no consideration for others. Oh, I'm the best one to rule. Why? Well, because I want to be king. Do you realize how awful the testimony of Israel is and to the nations around them? There was a day that the Queen of Sheba had to come and see Solomon. I've heard of this, and I didn't believe it. Now, they're behaving worse than the world. Omri rules for 12 years. Verse 23, in the 30 and first year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri to reign over Israel. 12 years, 6 years reigned he in Tirzah. Note that Asa is still the king of Judah. There is at least stability in the government. Now he's got his problems. But bad government's better than no government. Israel has experienced several kings during the reign of King Asa in Judah. And in the 27th year of Asa, Omri began to reign. Take a look at chapter 16, verse 15. In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, did Zimri reign 7 days in Tirzah. That's it. It's over. He died, verse 16, and the people that were encamped heard say, Zimri has conspired and has slain the king. Wherefore all Israel made Omri the captain of the host. And Omri went up from Gibbethon, and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And when Zimri saw the city was taken, what did he do? He set the palace on fire, and he died within the palace. burned himself to death. Verse 23, and in the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, began Omri. Apparently this civil war lasted there for about 3 to 4 years, if you think that through. Then Omri prevailed and ruled for 12 years. Verse 24, and he bought the hill Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver and built on the hill, called the name of the city which he built after the name of Shemer, owner of the hill Samaria. And he bought it. The palace of Tirzah had been burned. Omri was fighting Tibni, so he had no opportunity to rebuild Tirzah nor consider another place to dwell, and apparently he finally got it. Verse 25, but Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Omri, which he did, and in his might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? I want you to notice this. God knows. Verse 25, but Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord. Not only did he do evil, he did worse than all that were before him. God is up there, and he sees all. We have to rest in that. Why do these evil men get to be king? Don't worry, God's got it. And he is going to take care of it in his timing and according to his will. We see the influence of Jeroboam lives on. How do you want to be remembered? For being wicked and people do as awful as you did? For he walked in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Is that how you want to be remembered? I hope not. And these deeds of Omri are recorded for men to read, for they're written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. His deeds are also on record with God, and those records are far more complete. Verse 28. So Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his stead. 29. And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab the son of Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. You know, you figure these kings, as they're growing up, and they're watching all this strife, you have to wonder what Ahab saw as a little boy growing up, and then his dad leading in part of a civil war. The intrigue, the unrest, the godlessness, the idolatry. Well, this is all what Ahab learned. He witnessed a lot of it. We don't know exactly how old he was at times, but in his lifetime, Elah was murdered by Zimri. Zimri killed himself as he destroyed the palace of Tirzah. Tibni fought a civil war with his father, and Omri's sin was great before the Lord. Ahab was the worst king that Israel had ever had. Thus, our title, Is There No End? You know, it is saying something, truly, that you were worse than all the kings ever before you. Reading what we have read over the last couple weeks, that's really saying something. This man was deplorable. God allowed him to be king for 22 years. He had greatness on earth, but he was spiritually bankrupt. Greater is the man who has little on earth, but great treasures in heaven. Ahab takes the throne and he continues in the idolatry. Verse 30, and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if he had done a light thing, to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. He took the wife of Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Many years ago, I went to the Oriental Museum downtown Chicago because they had a special display of Baal. I wanted to see what Baal looked like. And they had very impressive display. It was, I think, part of the one of the universities downtown, their museum there. Did you know Baal is about that big? He's a little skinny guy with a long pointy nose, real skinny with a real pointy chin that sticks out, and he was sitting on a throne. And I'm thinking, they worship this? He reared up an altar for Baal and in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. He made a grove. Now that's something that we see throughout the Judges. They form a grove as a place to worship these false gods. This is idolatry when you see this. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And so it is, this brings us up to Ahab, where we are going to pick up in chapter 17 with Elijah. But there's an interesting verse that seems to be hanging out there in free space. Verse 34. In his days, in Ahab's days, did Hiel the Bethelite built Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, Ahab defied God by building places of idolatrous worship. And now we see this man, Hiel, building what he wasn't supposed to build. He is rebelling by building Jericho. Well, he learned it from the king. He learned it from the other kings. Here he is defying God by building Jericho. Jericho, we have to go back now in time to see what this is saying. Way back when the children of Israel completed their wilderness wanderings, Moses died, Joshua took his place. Joshua led the children of Israel through the dry ground of Jordan. It closed, and they were in the promised land. And the first city that they had to encounter for battle was Jericho. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, this formidable city, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. So we have this tremendously fortified city, and we have these people who have walked around the wilderness for 40 years. And God says, you need to go in there and conquer the people. Well, Joshua takes the command, he goes. But before they enter into Jericho, what he does is he sends two spies to scout out the city. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Verse 12, this woman is taking care of these spies, and for that she's going to be rewarded. She will not die, nor her family. Joshua 2:12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And they promised, and Joshua upheld that promise. Now that they've gotten this insight into the city, the scouts come back, and Joshua is given specific instructions by the Lord how to conquer the city. The priests are going to take the ark and they're going to lead the people around the city for 7 days. And on the seventh day, when they're done marching, they're going to shout and the walls will fall down. But what are they supposed to do now that the walls have fallen down? Joshua chapter 6, verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So they're going to watch these walls fall down, and then they're going to go in and take the city. Don't take any of the plunder. It all belongs to God. But one of the men of Israel, Achan was his name, took some of the treasure. He didn't tell anybody. Some time passed, and Israel went to attack the next town, Ai, and they lost. 36 men died. And God reveals to Joshua there's sin in the camp. And so it is that they have a lottery system, and Achan and his family are taken, and they're stoned to death. They knew better, but there is a curse upon Jericho by Joshua, of course, from the Lord. Joshua 6:26. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." He set forth a prophecy, round figures, 500 years before King Ahab. And he says, whoever rebuilds Jericho, when you set up the foundation, your oldest son will die. And then when you're finished, your youngest will die. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34. In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Joshua the son of Nun. With all the problems that Israel has, they have to be defiant and build Jericho. There's a complete, blatant disregard for the word of God at large, but especially in this man, Hiel. I want you to stop and think, because it pertains to our Bible, it pertains here. The word of God, albeit it's 500 years old, is just as applicable today as it was then. And the Bible that we are reading today, maybe several thousand years old portion of it, it's just as pertinent today as it was then. The word of God is sure, and it will endure. And if you read those parallel passages in Joshua 6:26 and 1 Kings 16:34, you see the curse, and it happened, the fulfillment thereof. I want you to stop and think about this man, Hiel. The truth is, we know very little about the man, but we know this. Apparently, that prophecy foretold, that curse foretold by Joshua, was known. It wouldn't be fair if they didn't know, but God made it. They knew, don't rebuild that city. And he knew of the curse, because our God is a fair God, and he starts to build, and guess what? His son dies. And he never stopped to think, maybe I ought to quit. And he just continued on, and he loses his second son. When are you going to start to learn to listen to the word of God, Hiel? What are you doing? We know little about this man, Hiel. We do wonder how he could build such a city with all this unrest going on, with all of this idol worship. I want to know how he afforded to build a city. And then we also can step back and wonder, God, why do you allow this wicked man to complete the building of a city? But then why does God let any wicked person succeed, like us? We all have sin. Because God would rather win people with goodness than he would with his wrath. But he also let Hiel know, do you see my words for real? But we never see Hiel saying, I ought to pray to God. Never. Not recorded there. God has recorded what we need to know. God is to be obeyed. His word holds true no matter how much time passes. Hiel failed to heed the initial warning spoken by Joshua of old. God preserved those words of Joshua, so Hiel was without excuse. His firstborn died, but Hiel did not stop building. His youngest son died, and there's no record that he sought the Lord for forgiveness. You talk a hard heart. We are responsible for God, and we ought to encourage others also to do right. But we must ask, why was it such a sin to rebuild Jericho? Well, when we stop and think about that and answer that question, it's a great spiritual truth there. Why was it such a sin? Think about what was being represented there. God promised the children of Israel, I will take you to a promised land, and there you will be free, and it flows with milk and honey, and there you will worship me, and I will bless you. And what you have to do is go in there and conquer the people, utterly destroy them. The first city that was destroyed was Jericho by God Almighty. He set the precedent. Stand back, watch. And they watched utter destruction. He's saying, now you got it? Because all in all, they're going to conquer 31 kings. That's what God expected. And you give the first fruits to the Lord. How is it that they would want to rebuild that which God used an example of the results of evil? These people are so wicked they deserve to die. Why do you want to rebuild their city? Christian, when you got saved and you're walking the path with the Lord, why do you want to cling to the old stuff and say, oh, I'd like to build this again and do that again, and God is saying, I saved you out of that. Why are you doing it again? Don't do that. It feels good when you stop. God is not telling us to stop things because he wants to ruin our fun. He's got better plans for us. You don't have it for space's sake, but Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Think differently. In verse 24, put on the new man. Why do you want to go back to the old man? Because we have a spiritual battle within between the old nature and the new nature. And we need to not feed the old nature. We need to strengthen and develop that new nature. And God will bless.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.